So, dear brothers, today we're going to study the question which everybody has in their mind, seeing so much of troubles, difficulties, problems all around the world. See, as soon as we entered 2020, we faced, you see, the COVID, the situation, because of which there was a disaster in finance. Lot of you see market lost its value. There's a lot of people left their places, you see, and decided to go and stay in their home place. And so many people daily are immigrating, migrating from one place to other place, and they're losing their father, their mother, the children. And so many children are left orphaned just to die like that only. And lie around the roads. Seeing all these things, definitely a question passes everybody's mind. Why? 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 Why, Lord? Why all these things? Why so many sufferings in this world? And some people even question God, saying, God, don't you have eyes? Can't you see? Why are you blind, wanting to help the mankind? Such type of questions, you see, because of the sufferings, people ask. And some people so get fed up that they commit suicide by ending their life. Whenever a earning man in the family, he dies, the same question comes to the mind of the children. Imagine if a only son in the family dies. The family, the parents ask the same question. Lord, why did you take my son? Don't you have a heart? Don't you have eyes? Don't you have ears? You see, if the parents lose their loved ones, the same question comes to the mind. So this is the common question in the world where people are suffering. Why, 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 why? Why there is differentiation between rich and the poor? Why some people have everything and some people have nothing? Why some people have a lot of food to eat while poor people don't even have basic things in their life? Why some people have a lot of education, everything, but some people, even after a lot of pain, suffering, sorrow, there is nothing in their life. Why? So, this is the question we're going to see today, the answer from the Bible. Devadren, the Bible says that God has created everybody equally, and we are all of his family. We are one family, and we are all his children. So then, why this differentiation in his family? In Ephesians 3:15, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we are all of one family. So in the family, why there is differentiation? Why some are blessed? Why are not some blessed? Why some are suffering? Why some are living happily? Imagine if we have two children in our house, will we make one child as a beggar and other child as a doctor? No. Jesus said, this one, you being evil, know how good things to give to children. Give them how much more God will be knowing it. Isn't it? So let us read that verse, Matthew 7, chapter 9 to 11, brother. Suraj, brother, can you read Matthew 7, chapter 9 to 11?
Okay, sir. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gift unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?
See, Jesus compared our earthly father to heavenly father, if you being evil know what good things to give to your children, then definitely father would be doing much better than that one. Then dear brethren, why God is not blessing everybody equally? Why there is differentiation in his family? Dear brethren, if you ask this question, some people tell that no, this is Satan who is doing it. God is blessing everybody. God wants to bless everybody. But Satan, the adversary, the devil, you see, he deceives everybody. He is the one who is doing all this evil in this world. But yet again, the question comes, if Satan is doing all these things, the Almighty God, the supreme, powerful God, he can stop it, no? But why is he not stopping it? Why? Again, the question comes, why? So some people, they simply tell, oh, God is only doing all these things. God is only doing evil. God is only doing good. Dear brethren, does God have anything to do with evil in the Bible? You see, what does the Bible say? Psalms 5th chapter verse 4. Read brother, Psalms 5, 4.
For thou not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee.
See, for thou art not a God who has pleasure in wickedness. God doesn't take pleasure in wickedness, neither does evil dwell with him. So God has got nothing to do with evil. Then again, the same question comes, why? You know, Siddharth, who became Gautam Buddha, he had the same question. He was nurtured very, very comfortably and a luxurious life inside the palace. But one day when his father was away, he went out to see his citizens of the kingdom, how they are living. Each and every house event, there was only sickness, only sorrow, pain. Then, when he returned to the palace, he questioned his father, "Father, why the citizens of our kingdom are suffering like this?" His father could not answer his question. He told, "Please go and get a grain of rice from the house where there is no tears." He went and begged every house. None could give him a grain because every house had tears. So ultimately, when his question was not answered, he left all the family life and all and went and sat below a tree and became Buddha. But what was the use of it? Did he get the answer to his question? No, he did not get it. So many people, similarly, once they don't get the answer, they come to the conclusion that all this evil is done by devil. They believe that there is no God at all. But seeing the wonderful creation of God, can we tell that there is no God? No, dear brethren. The wonderful creation of God itself is a proof that there is God. Then what is the answer for this one? God originally created man in his own image. Genesis 1:26 tells, let us make man in our own image. Own image means what? Not that God created man as God was. God is a spirit being. He doesn't have a fleshly body as we have. Jesus said, no, John 4:24, God is a spirit and he that worships him should worship in spirit and truth. So, God is having a spiritual body, but man is having a fleshly body. Then what is the meaning of likeness and image of God? That means all the qualities, the character which God has is in man. The main and the primary quality is that God made man as a free moral will agent. He did not create him as a robot so that he can only do things what God tells. No, God gave him a liberty, the choice. If he wants to do good, he can do good. If he doesn't want to do good, he can reject it. That choice God gave to man. And after creating man in such an image, full liberty, God placed him in the Garden of Eden and told, you see, you can eat and enjoy completely in Garden of Eden and gave him a companion, Eve also. How was Eve created? He was created through cloning process through Adam. So all the creation of God was perfect. That's what Deuteronomy 32:4 says. Read, brother, Deuteronomy 32:4.
He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just as right is he.
God of truth. All his work is perfect. So, first man can, when he was created, is perfect. Even Lucifer, when he was created, was perfect. Many people think that Lucifer is like this. Like a dragon, red or black in color, having two horns on the head, four canine teeth, sharp nails, a tail. And if he opens his mouth, only fire is coming. You see, sharp and piercing, fiery eyes. Dear brethren, this is all our imagination. But the Bible doesn't say so. Bible says that Satan is created, Lucifer was created wonderful and beautiful. Read Ezekiel 28:12.
Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
See, God tells God full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. God is telling about whom? It says about the king of Tyrus. But everybody thinks this is king of Tyrus. No. If you read that verse, continue, it says he was in Garden of Eden. Read 13, brother. Verse 13 and 14, brother. Please.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx and the jasper.
Okay, thank you, brother. Okay. One by one we'll go. So it says, thou hast been in the Garden of Eden. Now, when was King of Tyrus in the Garden of Eden? Only Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. But this verse is speaking about whom? Read verse 14, brother. You're reading from the screen or from the Bible, brother?
From the screen.
Okay. Then continue. Please continue.
Jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of the tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. Thou, the anointed cherub that covered.
Okay, brother. It says he was an anointed cherub that covereth. Now, King of Tyrus is a cherub. Is he an angel? Was he in Garden of Eden? No. So, who is this angel who was in Garden of Eden, was created perfect in beauty and wisdom? That is speaking about Lucifer. Therefore, Lucifer was created so beautiful. The Bible says, the Satan will transform like an angel of light, it seems. 2 Corinthians 11:14. You see, if Satan comes and stands before us, we'll fall prostrate before him. You see, thinking that he is God. Dear brethren, Lucifer, that word Lucifer actually in the Bible means morning star. You see, read Isaiah 14:12, brother. Read the first verse.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Art thou cut down to the ground with this weakened the nations.
See, he says, how are the fallen from Lucifer? So Lucifer, son of morning. You see, the word Lucifer itself means morning star. Planet Jupiter is called as morning star because early in the morning is changed as a star. So what is the meaning of this one? If you see, this is early creation of God. You know, there is one more morning star in the Bible. Can you guess, brother, who is the one more morning star in the Bible, brother? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, it's Jesus Christ.
Very good. Jesus Christ. Read 22:16. Revelation 22:16.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bride and the morning star.
You see, the bride, morning star. So there are two morning stars. Jesus is also morning star. So Lucifer is also morning star. Then both should have been together sometime, no? Were they together? Huh? Were they together, Suraj Uttar? Sometime.
Yeah.
Yes. Job 38:6, brother. Job 38:6.
Whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the son of God shouted for joy.
The morning stars, not star, stars. I mean two. They sang together, it seems to be, and therefore, you see, Lucifer was created perfect only. You see, and they were sent to Garden of Eden to protect mankind. You see, a covering cherub, a protecting angel, a guardian angel. You see, after creating man, God had given him the entire dominion. So test whether Adam would remain faithful to God or not, God kept a small test in Garden of Eden. What did God say? You can eat freely of any tree in the Garden of Eden, but of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shall not eat. The day you eat thereof, what will happen? You shall surely die, God said. Correct, no? Genesis 2:17. So, why did God put this small test? God could have just simply kept quiet, no? Nothing would have happened. Sin would have not entered. Why did God place it? That was a test to see their faithfulness. Imagine if you join a company. On the day of joining, will our managing director give us lakhs of rupees to go and deposit in the bank? No. Why? Because our faithfulness wouldn't have been tested. So until our faithfulness has been tested, they won't give so much responsibility. But here God gave the entire earth, the entire Garden of Eden to them to test whether they would remain faithful or not. God kept this small test, you see, and placed Lucifer as a guardian angel above these human beings, but gave the entire dominion to Adam and Eve. Imagine, dear brethren, Lucifer, who was a bright, he was a morning star, could not humble him to such an extent to be a guardian angel, to be like a watchman, to be like a protecting angel for Adam and Eve. They just knew. Entire authority is given to them. He was made the king, but he was made as their watchman. This, you see, developed pride in whom? In Lucifer. Imagine if you are a company manager. Now suddenly if a boss comes and tells that you're not going to be a manager from today, you're going to work as a watchman, how will we feel? Daily seeing our boss going before our eyes and saluting him like a watchman, we will think, this fellow, you see, made us to such extent to be a watchman. So all sorts of evil thoughts will come, you see, to deceive, you see, and do some evil. Same thought motivated Lucifer also to sin against God. That is the time that Lucifer, you see, decided to deceive Adam and Eve. Read, brother. Isaiah 14:13-14, brother. Huh?
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the star of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the most high.
I will be like the most high. Why should I be like a servant? Why should I be like a watchman? Instead of being a watchman, I'll be like God. How God is above everything. Similarly, I'll also be above God. So with this thought, he decided to deceive Adam and Eve and bring them under his control so that he can become the king over them and they his servants. So, how did Satan deceive Eva? He used the serpent to deceive Eve. We see in the Bible, Genesis 3:1, it says, the serpent came and spoke to Eve. You see, how did the serpent speak? Many people tell, brother, those days serpents used to speak, now it has become dumb. Yeah? Suddenly it will change. No. Serpent never speaks. But the action did by the serpent was like a speech to whom? To Eve. This is how, you see, God used. This is how the Satan deceived, you see, Eve. You see, dear brethren, there is a proverb now. Action speaks louder than voice. You see, if he, a police tells to, if he tells the hand like this, what is meaning? Stop. It is a sign language. So similarly, what Satan did, he would have made Eve to eat the fruit. How would have tempted Eve? He would have first made the serpent to eat fruit. And seeing this serpent eating the fruit, immediately a thought would have generated in the mind of Eve. Why did God tell not to eat this fruit? This serpent is eating the fruit and he's still alive. For this question in the mind of Eve, again Satan would have replied, you shall surely not die. Then again a thought would have come in Eve's mind. Why? What will happen? Then why didn't God tell not to eat? So he would have replied, God fears that you will become like God. That is the way he would have replied to Abraham. So hence what happened? You see, this is the first question in the Bible. You know, the question mark, how do you put it? Like the serpent's food. Why you use this question, this type of sign, question mark, like a serpent's food? Because the first question came into the world because of the serpent. That is where it is given in the Bible. Therefore, you see, Eve ate the fruit. He was totally deceived. But what about Adam? Was Adam deceived? Suraj Brother, was Adam deceived?
No, he is not.
Then why did he eat?
Maybe because of his wife.
Very good. Correct, brother. Adam was not deceived. The Bible says, very good, brother. Read. 1 Timothy 2:14, brother. 1 Timothy 2:14.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Adam was not deceived. That means Adam knew very well that if you would eat, you would die. Then why did he eat? Adam knew now Eve has eaten the fruit and she will die. If she is going to die, he will remain alone. So he did not want to leave alone. So he actually committed suicide. You see, he wanted to die with Eve. That's the reason, you see, he ate the fruit. Today, you know, even after so many girls are living in this world, some people will die for only the same girl. You see, I will leave, I love for you. You see, Romeo, Juliet, Laila Majna, he runs the, why? Love story. This is the Bible's first love story. You see, Adam dying with Eve. Okay, but once they ate the fruit, what did God do? God cast them out of the Garden of Eden into the unfinished earth. You see, Genesis 3:17, God cast them into the unfinished earth. God cursed the ground, saying, because of you, the ground is cursed. He shall bring thorns and thistle. You see, you shall eat by the sweat of thy brow all the days of thy life. You shall earn. You see, you should very, very hard working. You need to do. Dear brethren, therefore, he was sent out of Garden of Eden. And all this death, sickness, sorrow, and everything is a result of that first sin which Adam did. You know, today, a lot of people are dying in, you see, war than in man-made, you see, disaster. Today, man is dying more in man-made disasters than in natural disasters. War, fighting, you see. Today, you know, why wars take place? Because of small friction and misunderstanding. You know, the war between Ukraine and Russia is more than 1 year, but still nobody stopped Ukraine. It's totally destroyed. Even America was attacked by Bin Laden. You see, Talibans. Why? Afghans. You know, who was Bin Laden? He was a CIA of America. But just because of small misunderstanding, he attacked America. And huge war. Since the time the war is happening, there is no control over it at all. Why? Because of man's selfishness. Earthquake happens. You can see in the news, Uttarakhand, North India, you see Himachal Pradesh, lot of earthquakes. Why? Because of excess mining. You see, excess mining. Eh? And a lot of floods. You see, tsunamis. Why? Because of deforestation. You cut down all the trees. What will happen? Every rains, if it comes, all the mud and everything will crash down into the place as a form of floods. You see, why all these things? This is all because of man's selfishness. You want more. Not deforest. Want more. Want more charcoal. Dig iron ore. All types of ore. Dear brethren. So, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that heaven is God's throne and earth is his footstool. So let us read Isaiah 66:1. Isaiah 66:1.
Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest?
Very good. So, heaven is my throne, earth is a footstool. What does it mean? Does it mean that God is literally sitting in heaven, keeping his foot on the earth globe? No. Footstool in the Bible means a place of learning. See, in olden days, the teacher or the guru used to teach like this. They used to sit on a higher platform. And there used to be a seat. And they used to have a place where they used to keep their feet. And below it, there was a footstool. And in front of him only, all the pupils and students used to sit on the floor. So that place was called as Gurukul or Guru's feet. You see? It was called at the feet. I learned at this feet and his feet. Read. Similarly, Apostle Paul, you see, learned at the footstool of Gamaliel, it seems. Read Acts 22:3. Acts 22:3.
I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, and ye all are this day.
Brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. What does it mean, feet of Gamaliel? I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. Apostle Paul learned at the feet of Gamaliel. That doesn't mean that he was literally sitting his feet. The place of learning. Similarly, when God says that earth is my footstool, it means earth is a place of learning. That means, you see, whatever God wants to teach his creation, he's going to teach it from the earth. See, for teaching something to some people or somebody, there are actually four methods. And the first method is intuition. Intuition means there's no need for somebody to tell this is good and this is bad. Automatically, they have this knowledge within themselves. This is intuition. This only God has. None other creation can clearly discern between good and evil. This quality only God is having. So for Adam to be taught what is good and what is bad, this method could never be applied because this quality only God is having. So next way to teach evil is advice. You see, now God had advised Adam not to eat fruit of the Garden of Eden, but he ate it. You see, he had advised. You see, advice was there, but advice did not work out. So this was a failure in Adam. And the third one is observation. Adam did not have anybody to observe and see, this is evil. This is the result of sin and death. You see, he did not have anybody to observe. If he had anybody to observe, he wouldn't have definitely sinned. So observation also failed. But this observation He is successfully working among the angels. See, there is no law among the angels. The wages of sin is death. But how they are learning? What is the result of sin? Violating God's commands. How they are learning it? By seeing the sufferings among mankind. By seeing how God is dealing with mankind, they are learning it. Read 1 Corinthians 4:9, brother. 1 Corinthians 4:9. You have the Bible, brother, with you? Can you read? Suraj, brother, you have the Bible with you?
Yes. Okay. 1
Corinthians 4:9.
1 Corinthians 4:9. Okay. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men.
We are made spectacle unto angels. Angels are seeing mankind and learning the wages of sin is death. So therefore, the third one failed. It is working among the angels. The last and the final one to teach what is evil was the only way that was left over, that was experience. And Adam sinned against God because he did not have experience with evil. He did not have experience what is good and what is bad. If he had experience, he wouldn't have definitely sinned. Dear brethren, just imagine whenever you go for the interview, what do the people ask first thing? The first thing they ask is that experience. Why? Without experience, what will happen now? That will be a damage to the company. So experience is very, very important. And moreover, this experience is such a way that we can't infuse into somebody. No, we can't infuse. They have to get it by themselves, by undergoing it. You see, by experiencing it. That is called as experience. You see? So we can't put it into somebody's mind or body. My experience, you can't take it. Your experience, I can't take it. So Adam sinned against God because of lack of experience. And God saw, as Adam has sinned because of lack of experience, similarly, his entire children, entire generation will sin because of lack of experience with evil. Therefore, God permitted evil, not only in Adam, but that in Adam, everybody should experience evil. Why? To gain that experience in Adam. Read Romans 5:12, brother. Romans 5:12.
Romans 5, which you said, sir? 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so what happened? This death passed upon everybody, you see, because only one man. One man sinned and death came into the world. But what did God do? He permitted everybody to die in Adam because of lack of experience. Their children also will sin because of lack of experience. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians 15:22, what does he say? As in Adam, all die. Even in Christ, all shall be made alive. As in Adam, all die. All are dying in Adam. Everybody are dying in Adam. So, dear brethren, you see, we are all facing the consequences of the first sin. Read Jeremiah, 31st chapter, 29 and 30, brother.
In those days, they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge.
Very clearly it says now. Now what has happened? The fathers, Garden of Eden, Father Adam made the grape, our teeth were set on the edge. We all are receiving the penalty, sin, because of his sin and death. You see? Therefore, what does he say? Everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Now everybody is dying for the iniquity of Father Adam. But in the future, it won't be so, dear brethren. Therefore, No, why did God not forgive? God could have forgiven Adam, no? God first sin, no? Very simple, no? Very one small fruit. What happened? So many fruits are there, no? God could have forgive Adam, but why did God not forgive Adam? You see, why? Why? Because if God would have forgiven Adam, you know what would have happened? Then the lie which the devil told is that you shall surely not die, that would have come true. And moreover, Adam's faith on God would have lacked. He would have trusted more on the devil than on God. And third thing, if Adam was forgiven, tomorrow the children also will commit some sin and come and stand before God. God, forgive me. If God says, no, I can't forgive you, then they will question God. You forgive my father, Adam, no, for first sin. This is my first sin, forgive it, no? So if each and every commits sin, where will be the justice and value of God? Then God would be a liar. Satan would be true. That is the reason God did not spare the first sin, but he committed everybody to sin and death. So everybody are dying in Adam. So what is the use? What is the benefit of it? See, usually every poison has an antidote. You see, you go to any place and you buy any chemicals or deadly poisonous thing. Behind this poisonous thing, you see, they would have put a chemical label, antidote. So what is the meaning of that antidote? You know, antidote is a medicine which is used to nullify the effect of poison. So similarly, when God permitted this evil in this world, he had an antidote in his hand. That antidote is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So God knew that the whole world had to suffer sin and death and experience it. So he decided first only, even before creating Adam, that Jesus should die for everybody. Read Revelation 13:8. Revelation 13:8.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
Slain from the foundation of the world. You see, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When the foundation was there, Lucifer was with Jesus. They both sang together. They were very happy, no sin. But even then, God had decided in his mind that once this poison comes, I should sacrifice Jesus. So it was already decided, brethren. Therefore, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Why? To save everybody. So what is the result of it? What is the name of the fruit which Eve and Adam ate in Garden of Eden? What was the name of that? What was the name of the fruit, Suraj Brother, which they ate in Garden of Eden? Apple or mango? What was the name, Suraj Brother? You're there? Suraj Brother, you're there? Suraj Brother, you're there?
Yes, sir. A little bit internet problem, sir.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Now tell me, what is the name of the fruit which Adam ate in Garden of Eden?
That knowledge of good and evil.
Very good. Knowledge of good and evil. So why did God ever keep this name? Have you ever thought? The entire subject is there in the fruit's name only, brother. You know, what is the meaning of good and evil? You see, the good portion, the good experience, and also the bad experience. Today, the entire mankind are eating the bad portion of the fruit. That means they experience only evil and bad. Through whom? Through Adam for more than 6,000 years, dear brethren. Through whom? Through Adam. So that good and evil, that evil portion is now eaten completely. But when will that good portion be eaten? That is also there now. When that will be experienced? That will be experienced when our Lord Jesus returns the second coming. The Bible says that he is going to rule on this earth for 1,000 years. And in his period, in his kingdom, everybody will experience good. Only good will be there. There won't be any evil at all. So Jesus will bind Satan and they'll be good all over the world. You see, so every mankind shall experience this good. Now they are experiencing now evil. Read Psalms 30, verse 5. Read from the Bible, brother. Psalms 30, verse 5. Psalms 30, verse 5. Suraj, brother, you there? Bible, can you open and read?
Yes, sir. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
You see, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Which is his night? Which is his morning? The night of sin, sorrow, sufferings, this night of 6,000 years, that is night. But it will be only for a night. What comes in the morning? Joy. Morning. When Jesus will arise as a son of righteousness. Malachi 4:2. He will heal everybody in his kingdom. So, what will happen at that time? Only joy, joy, joy. Weeping are there now. But in his kingdom, there won't be tears at all. Revelation 21:4, brother.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
See, for the former things have passed away. No more tears, no more crying, no more death. You see, this is the kingdom which Jesus preached all the places. Matthew 9:35, Luke 4:43. It says, Jesus preach the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness. Luke 4:43, it says, you see, therefore, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. This reason I am sent, I have been sent to this earth, to preach the kingdom. You see, then what will happen? The feet of God shall be made glorious. Which is the feet of God? The earth. The earth will be restored back to the original condition. Read Isaiah 60, verse 13, brother. Isaiah 60, 13.
The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beauty the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious.
I will make the place of my feet glorious, dear brethren. So, you see, now let me ask a question. Now, why did God permit first evil and then at the Christ return is going to permit good? Why did not God do it the other way? Why not permit first good, then permit evil? Why did not God do like this one? Why did he permit evil first and then good? Why, brother Suraj, brother? Why do you think? What's your thought? Any idea, Suraj, brother? Why God permitted evil first?
No idea, sir.
let us see. You see, why no? Because mankind had a lot of experience. I'll tell you, give you an example. See, smoking. Is smoking good or bad, brother? Suraj, brother. Smoking is good or bad? Good, very good. Sorry. It's bad. It's not supposed to smoke. So, intuition. There are four methods to teach, no? So, first thing is intuition. How many people have the natural common sense not to smoke? Not many. So, this one won't work out. Second, advice. Each and every cigarette pack, they would have put a label. Now color photo will come. That cigarette smoking, you should not smoke. It is dangerous. It's very harmful for you. You see? But how many people hear this advice? Nobody. Then, third method, observation. If you take so people that cigarette smoking people to cancer hospital, some people will observe it and learn. Oh, very dangerous. Oh, let us quit it. But simple, some people, no, they'll tell, my grandfather has been smoking. Nothing will happen to me. So observation also, some people, it won't work out. But ultimately, the last one, experience will definitely work out. You know why? Even after a lot of observation, advice, they kept on smoking. And if they develop cancer, and after operation, if they are cured, lot of pain they would have undergone. And they now totally cured. Imagine, for such a patient, if you go and offer crores and crores of rupee and tell them to smoke only one cigarette, will they smoke? Will they smoke, Suraj Budhar?
No, sir.
No. Why? Experience. This is the experience which God wants everybody to gain in Adam. So therefore, first evil is permitted. Then what is permitted? Good. Got it, brother? So first, why God permitted evil? So that mankind and in Adam, everybody can gain that experience of evil. Okay? So when Christ comes and good is permitted, everybody can differentiate between good and evil and then choose, you see, good. That is the reason why God has permitted evil, for experience. Read Romans 8, 20 and 21, brother. Read slowly. We'll go one by one, and we'll go and see. Slowly you can read.
For the creature was made subject to vanity.
You see, 1 minute, brother. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Vanity means what? In Ecclesiastes, we get no vanity, vanity, vanity. Everything is vanity. So, it is speaking about the experience. The creature was made subject to experience, vanity. Why? Continue.
Not willingly.
Not willingly. You, they should suffer. You, they should undergo. No. Not willingly, not compulsorily, not purposefully, but continue.
But by the reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope.
But the reason of him who subjected this, who was permitted this one in a hope. God had a plan. That is the reason it was permitted, it seems. Now, what is his plan? Continue.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
What will happen in the future? You see, the creature, the whole world shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, sin, sickness, death. They shall all become God's children, having this beautiful experience of evil and good. That is the reason, you see, evil was permitted. Okay, so this is the class. I'll send the notes. Please go through the notes. I'll send a YouTube link. Please listen to the classes. Any doubts, any questions you have, you can ask. Any questions, Brother Suraj?